My name is Rob, and this is my weekly podcast. Each week, I sit down with a different guest, and we talk about things that you have been up to in the fandom. Are we going to talk about everything? Of course not. It's only an hour. Will we communicate effectively? It's a wheel of time. Probably not. But will we have fun? Most definitely. Welcome to Malkir's Wrap-Up. Hello, folks. Welcome back to Malkir's Wrap-Up. It is the second in my set of Aiel podcasts. And this week, I am sitting down with the wonderful and apparently very nervous roof mistress, Leia. Hey, Leia.
Hi. No. Hi.
You don't need to be nervous. It's going to be fun. I promise.
I just, when I don't get to do homework, I don't know what to do with myself. So it's stupid. I know it's like just my neuroses, but I feel very underprepared, even though I know this is just like a chit chat.
So if you want to make Leia nervous, what you have to do is you have to invite her to do something, but don't let her do homework or prepare for it. And then she just gets nervous for the event, obviously. So, But I feel like that's that feels very roof mistress appropriate, because a roof mistress feels like they should be prepared. You know, they're like organizing things and stuff like that. So,
Yes,
it's fitting, but don't be nervous. It's going to be fun. I hope Mel said she had fun. So hopefully you're going to have fun too.
I only listened to half of you guys' episode before this as with my attempt to do homework. and it did sound like you guys had fun. So
good. I'm glad that you were going to have fun too. So we're kicking off with the obvious one. Everyone who is coming on for these sets of recordings, role plays is Aiel. Leia, let's kick it off with that. Tell me why you role play as Aiel on Twitter. Like, what is it about being Aiel that appeals to you?
Well, besides the obvious being a very tall redhead, which I love that there's these tall redheads in the books, an entire society of them. There's multiple things that I really love about the Aiel. One is their it's not really military service that they do, but they're warrior societies. For those of you who watch Threefold Talk or like know anything about me, I was in the military for 9 years and I still work for the military. And I've always enjoyed military history. My grandfathers were both in World War II. My dad was a Marine. And so I've had this long legacy of involvement with the military, and just that warrior culture aspect really appealed to me. Also, for the longest time, not so much quite recently, I am a marathoner. And so just the concept of just going and running, I love that. When I started reading the books in college, that was not something that I did. But as I started rereading the books as an adult, as I was getting out of the military, that's when I had started getting into the marathon culture. As I was becoming involved with the Wheel of Time community, that was a big part of my life at that point. I was attempting to qualify for the Boston Marathon. Still have not done that. It's on my bucket list. But so there's multiple things about the Aiel, and they're just very family involved. They're very caring of each other. Also, they're kind of the weirdos in the Wheel of Time. Nobody really understands the Aiel humor. And that's another thing that I really just, so again, there's multiple levels within the Aiel that are just like, yes, I get it. I have the tendency to break bones. So
it usually gets in the way of running, I would imagine.
It does. It really does. It's very inconvenient. So I broke my foot again this year. I was trying to get back into races, but then managed to do something stupid. I slipped down the stairs in my apartment. So I wasn't even doing anything cool. I was just like, literally I had socks on and just couldn't, and then my foot went up.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Oh, I just imagine that. That's not fun. So I'm sorry to hear that. Hopefully you'll get back there, and I'm sure you will make the Boston Marathon one day. And like, we'll just come and we'll a whole bunch of us will just come and scream and cheer for you as you run.
I don't know that I would run it, but I just want to qualify for it. I just want to be like, yeah, I'm cool. I qualified for it.
Oh, no. If you qualify, we're going to make you do it.
Okay. Fair.
So no pressure there. No pressure.
No pressure.
But unlike last week when I had Mel on, you took the role playing a little differently. So Mel role plays as Melindra, who is an actual mm-hmm. character from the books, but you mm-hmm. are Roof Mistress Leia. So mm-hmm. Was that a deliberate choice? Was that like your options for having a character count disappeared? It's like, how did you choose Roof Mistress Leia? And then how did the frying pan come into that? Because I love that part of it as well.
So there's multiple layers to this story. When I was just about to join Discord, I'm really bad with coming up with names. And I was... just on the brink, I started listening to some of the earlier Wheel of Time podcasts that were out, and I was getting ready to join their servers, but I'm like, oh my God, I need to come up with a name. And it was actually literally May the 4th. So May the 4th be with you for all of our fellow Star Wars nerds. And I had been wearing my General Leia t-shirt that had Rebels on it, and I had my hair done up like in buns like she has. And I'd sent a picture to my family just to be like, May the 4th be with you, because they tolerate my nerdom.
Not everybody gets it. You know, some people are strange and they don't understand us. So, you know.
Yeah. They're very generous with me. I'll just say that. my mother in our group chat, it's like, oh, Princess Leia. And I was like, General. And then my middle name is Lee, L-E-I-G-H. My first name's Amy. So I just inverted that and made Leia. And then nice. I was like, oh my God, yes, that is the perfect Discord name. It's very Wheel of Timey. So that's the genesis of Leia. And then joined said servers and got involved with this started getting involved with this wonderful community, made lifelong friends. Some of those people from that early Discord server is not really active anymore, but we're still friends. We were planning get-togethers. So very early on, just like fell in love with all of these wonderful people, and they were coming up with names for each other. And obviously I was already kind of identifying with the Aiel, and they're like, you know what? You're the Roof Mistress, because you're the one planning these get togethers. You're the one doing like organizing us and getting us all under a hold. We feel like we live in your hold. So they actually named me the Roof Mistress, and I just was blown away by that title that they gave me as the Roof Mistress. And then it just had, obviously been using it since then.
Nice.
And then the frying pan is...
Yeah, the frying pan, because this is a gift that we use on Threefold Talk. And I have a vague idea of how the frying pan came to be, but it's a little bit a part of just who you are as Roof Mistress. Is it in the chibi? It's not in the chibi, is it? I can't remember.
Yeah, it is.
It's part of the frying pan's part of the chibi. Yes, yeah. So the frying pan even got put into the chibi. And I don't actually remember mentioning when we got when I went to Memo and asked her to create the chibis for all of us as like a 1 year anniversary surprise. I can't remember if I mentioned the frying pan, and I'm not sure. I feel like I might have. And I don't know why. So I have a vague idea, but if you can tell us exactly how and why the frying pan came to be, I think it's going to be fun for people to find out.
I think it was just a bit that we were doing, and I think I literally just got up and ran into my kitchen and grabbed the frying pan. And it's Mistress Luhan. Like, she literally, in Eye of the World, she bops a Trolloc with a freaking frying pan. I think she actually kills a Trolloc with a frying pan.
I mean, and it's very Samwise Gamgee as well, isn't it? So
yeah, it's so true. And like, it's just such a badass move. Like, I don't need a weapon. I'll just use my frying pan and I'll murder the fuck out of a Trolloc. So, like, I feel like that is something very roof mistress. I can imagine when the Jakars attack Rand in the group as they're traveling through the waste trying to get to Cold Rock's hold. I can imagine that there's somebody in there that, you know, like, didn't have their weapons with them and they just grabbed a frying pan and bop, like, just killed a Jakar with their frying pan. So,
yeah. I love it. It is a GIF that we've got. It's always something funny. We didn't use the GIF for a long time, and then recently I remembered we had it, and I'm like, we need to get this frying pan GIF out a bit more. So it was definitely a question I had to ask. I did get one of my high level patrons did actually have a question specifically around the frying pan. And they said, when you're out and about doing your daily roof mistress outings, do you prefer to travel with a heavier cast iron frying pan, or do you think a lighter, say, Quendia frying pan would be a better option?
I think it will just depend really on what you're doing in the moment, because they're both very useful for their own individual purposes. I don't think the Quendiar would be really good for cooking. I don't think it would conduct heat very well. So if I was going somewhere where I thought that I would need to cook and I wanted to use like the heat of the cast iron, I would obviously want an actual cast iron. But if I was trying to, you know, if I was doing a marathon training run, I'd probably want the, actually, let's be honest, I'd want the heavier one just because that's badass. But if I was going for speed or needed to get somewhere quickly and didn't want to carry all the extra weight, maybe I've got a lot of shopping bags, or maybe I'm in my high heels and it's just like the heavy one's going to throw you off balance, the Quindiar one would be a little bit more appropriate.
Fair. So there we go. That came from Flamingo Sadai.
Yeah, Flamingo, that's a great question.
Yeah. I didn't get a huge amount of questions for these recordings. I got some sort of vague suggestions of things. And as I was chatting to them in, like, at a voice chat once, but yeah, Joe threw that one in when I initially asked. He came up with that and I was like, I've got to ask Leia that. It's a fun question. So there you are, folks. If you're ever curious about traveling with frying pans, that is the way to do it. So it is great. It is great. All right. We'll talk a bit of TV show stuff now. Okay. So now these are questions I will be asking everyone, because I don't know, it's the difference between season one and season two of the Aiel. I think this is fun to get the perspectives. Mm-hmm. So Aiel in season one was kind of a little limited. We got one scene.
A dead dude.
We got one scene. But it was a pretty incredible scene, the Blood Snow. As someone who roleplays as Aiel, someone who, you know, that's like a lot of their persona, we work through Fall Talk together doing it. What did it mean to you to see Blood Snow in season one of Wheel of Time?
I was blown away by it. It's literally the start of the book series. Like, that's... obviously that's an oversimplification, but, you know, Rand being born and the way that he was born is the start of the books, essentially. And we don't get a lot of details about it. So seeing how badass Shael is. So not only was she there in war pregnant, you see her fighting in labor, and I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. It's just so impactful. And I think it says a lot about the Aiel culture without having to have the verbal to it. And that's one thing that I think the show has done really well, is understanding that there's so much context and details in the books and being able to display that without having these long, boring monologues. They have been, for people who haven't even read the books, they're picking up on all these amazing details. And so being able to show not only Rand's birth, this pivotal moment, but also just how super cool the Aiel are, from, again, one of the reasons that I love them, the warrior society aspect, you know, defending your loved ones, defending the things that you think are important. That's really pivotal to me. And so she's there trying to protect her baby, and she just destroys all of these Illyanners in the coolest way. And then rips open her pants and births a child. Like, how cooler could you get?
It is pretty badass. Yeah, it's a pretty incredible scene. I definitely describe it, and I've said this last week, I've said it before, I'll keep saying it, I'm sure. Pretty much one of the best pieces of cinematography I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And an incredible way to introduce them into the TV show. Season two was a little different to season one in terms of Aiel. Mm-hmm. So we got another awesome fight scene, but we got a lot more than that. We got a lot of interaction. We got more characters introduced. So going from season one, where we got just that cold open, to season two, where we got Avienda, we got Bane, we got Chiad, you know, we got introduction of Jito, all these different things. Like, how did that feel in comparison to season one? Did, like, you know, was it enough? Was it too much? Did you want more? Like, how did you feel about the Aiel in season two?
Definitely wanted more, but just from a book purist perspective, I understand why we couldn't get more. They just aren't there in the story really yet. So up to the point in this point in the books, at the end of The Great Hunt, the only real interactions with the Aiel that you get is with Perrin as they're coming through the mountains in the search. And, you know, after Rand goes off into the mirror world, he literally just runs into an Aiel, and that's the only interaction. So the fact that we got this early Avienda and Bane and Chiad and their interactions with each other is beautiful. And it shows the sisterhood that they have. And I'm very grateful how well they were portrayed, because I think sometimes it could have gone really badly, and it didn't. They pulled it off really well, and even with the minimal scenes, I love the hand talk, and I love the fact that they didn't subtitle it for most of the time. So we're going to figure, I think we're all going to learn eventually what all of those hand gestures are. I can't wait to go back and be like, oh, I totally understand what they're saying now. But the fact that it is a mystery, even within the Aiel culture, the hand talk is strictly a maiden's thing. And you see Avienda deliberately looking away and not participating because she's not a maiden anymore. And I think, there was a little bit of complaints in the book cloak world, like, oh, what would they say? It's like, you're not supposed to know what they say. Like, you don't know. You're not supposed to know. So
this is true. Along with the things that you're saying there, like, you know, people are worrying, like, oh, I don't understand what they're saying, things like that. A couple of things that are tough with the Aiel that a lot of wetlanders in the books don't understand is Aiel humor.
Yeah, I'm going to do the hand gesture for fucking wetlanders. I love that we have that. So you hook your pinky and then you tickle the underside of your palm.
So we got the Aiel humor, and we got Jito. Now the Aiel humor was very chilled, with like Avienda laughing when Perrin tries to, like, you know, sort of be like, stand behind me. She's like, nah, I got this covered. And when, basically, when she's like, look, dude, I'm not gonna hop on you, don't panic. But Jito obviously is a far more serious situation. Yeah. How did you feel about the way Jito was delivered to us in season two?
I loved it.
Yeah?
I loved it, yeah. again, the maidens are accused in the books of taking it a little bit too far, and I think that's exactly what they did. So Avienda did not betray her spear sister, her warrior partner, and who died. But she felt that guilt, and she felt the need to recompense for it somehow. And she asked Bane, and she had to help her. And I think actually it was a very great mental health tool. So she wasn't she needed to help grieve over something that she thought that she did wrong, even though I don't think she did anything wrong. And her sisters were like, yep, cool. We can do this all day. We could let us know when you think you're good. And that, I think that's a lot of what G8O is. It's ways to help. It's a mental health tool. Like, I think I did something wrong and I need to recompense for it. And then the rest of society is like, okay, how do we do that?
I don't think I've ever heard it described quite that way before. So that's very interesting.
I've been doing a lot of therapy recently, so everything's a mental health tool for me.
Yeah. Hey, why not? Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay. I have like a follow-on question from season two. It's not strictly Aiel based, but you on Threefold Talk after season two. Now, I know you had a bit of passion for this after season one, but season two, it seems to have fully bloomed into something that you are very, very passionate about. In fact, we did a discussion earlier this week on it, and that is costuming.
Mm-hmm.
Leia, where does costuming come from? Like, this is something obviously you love to do, but like there's a greater passion this season than I think I felt from you before, to the degree where you send me research on things what we're talking about, about costuming. You know, I was like, this picture of Logan's kimono is really cool. They're untying loads of knots. And you're like, no, Rob, this is a dye technique from China. You know, you're telling me, or Japan or something. You're sending me these like detailed YouTube videos and stuff like that. Like, where does this passion come from? And it's a great passion, by the way. Please keep having that passion. We love it. But like, how does Roof Mistress Leia come to be a costuming aficionado? Like, you know, Sharon replies to you on Instagram. Like, you know, it's...
Oh, I freaked out when she did that. Every time, like, she's replied a couple of times. But the most recent one was, it was a Not Wheel of Time related one. And I was just... she's going to an Iris Van Haven, I believe is the name, who's a haute couture designer. And at first I thought it was a Sean Chan design concept. And that's literally what I said. And she's like, oh, like, so she's like geeking out with me. Like, oh yeah, no, this is, she's one of my inspirations. And yes, I totally got it from there. And I was like, yeah. So to your question, I haven't always loved fashion. That was my middle sister's thing growing up. So I was like the big tomboy, and Carter was the big fashionista, and she was the cool kid, and I was the nerd, you know, her nerdy older sister who literally didn't know how to put together an outfit. But I would sew with my grandmother, my father's mother, and we would just do sewing projects a lot. And then I went into the military, and like nobody cared about clothes in the military. But I still loved clothing. And my sister went to FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology, in New York City. And I would follow along with her classes because I just found them fascinating. She went more on the business side, not on the design side, but the industry of fashion was fascinating to me, and how large it is and what goes into it. So while I was doing my Yahoo military stuff, I still kept up with fashion with respect to what she did. She went to work for a technical magazine called Beauty Fashion. And again, it was an industry magazine. So it wasn't Vogue or Harper's Bazaar or anything like that. But going to reading about how materials were made and how perfumes were designed and how the cosmetic industry was evolving, all of those things fascinated me. So I've always kept up with it. And it's this like alternate to my reality. And Carter's not, she's a stay-at-home mom now, so she's not in the fashion world anymore. And I will now send her things, and we like geek out over it. So it's just something that we can talk about outside of the children. And it's something I love. I love watching the red carpets for the awards ceremonies. I love fashion weeks, all of the fashion weeks. And I very much like Sharon does, I find a lot of inspirations. I pin a lot of those haute couture. I still use Pinterest. I know I'm so old, but
it still works. It's still valid. There's no, you don't need to apologize for that.
But I actually pen a lot of those concepts. So like some of the makeup ideas that I have that I use in my cosplay are straight from runway or photo shoots that designers do. And I have lots of ideas for cosplay and just never get around to it. But a lot of them are those types of concepts. So when I see the Lanfear outfit, I actually have several things that are penned, and I can see where Sharon gets a lot of inspiration from those types of things, where fashion is art. So when we did that makeup tutorial, that's one of the reasons I love makeup, is because it is an artistry. It's, you're a makeup artist. So it's the blending of colors. It's knowing the shapes of a face and how to contour things. And I just love that. So
I'm glad you brought up the makeup, because I was also going to ask about that. Folks, if you're not aware, Leia did what did we call it? I can't remember, but it was like the makeup that Bane and she adds, the two, because they wear different styles of eye makeup. Am I using that phrase correctly? That, yes. So their eye makeup is different, the two of them. And Leia, live on 3 or 4 Talk with Mel and Bane and she adds, and me just spectating there, because shockingly, I didn't have a makeup collection to bring to the event. So surprising.
Well, was one of the leading into that episode, Bane and Chad and Mel asked how to do, because I think they, you know, they'll eventually want to cosplay it, but they said exactly what you said, is I don't have a lot of makeup. How do I do this? And I'm like, easy. It's so easy. Like, it won't look exactly the same if you don't have all the right colors, but we can make it work.
The effect was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you and then you did like a special joke tutorial for us of you practicing as an eel, which was a great contrast, because on the show you were giving you gave up like makeup artist vibes. You were like, you know, teaching and demonstrating all in the same breath. And then Mel and Ben and Chad were there, and they were like imitating what you were doing, and it was amazing. All three of you looked incredible. But you then also did this video where you were like going hardcore on the Aiel, trying to do wetland and makeup stuff, and it was so funny. We were like the egg part and things. It was you came to us with that. You were like, I want to do this. Like, Rob, I've made this, and I died with laughter about it. Like, you know, it's, where does that stuff come from? Is that again from the passion of the fashion stuff, or is, you know, you just the art side? Like, how does that, all these sorts of things come together for you?
It's been an evolution. When I was in the military, I didn't really feel the need for fashion. So I was very plain Jane, didn't really do hair, didn't do makeup. When I got out of the military, I went to my hairstylist, because I've always liked a good haircut. So even though my hair was back up in a bun all day, I still liked to just have it be able to be down, blow dry it real quick, or let it air dry and have it look fine. So that has always been important to me. And so I went to my hairstylist and I was like, I don't know how to do my hair, and I'm about to go into the civilian world. And we, no shit, spent 3 hours. It was supposed to be a 1 hour appointment. She taught me how to curl my hair, how to use bobby pins. I feel like duct tape and bobby pins can save the universe. So if you need a problem fix, like duct tape and bobby pins are the two tools that you need for anything.
I can see that being very accurate, that statement. Yes.
Yeah. So she would like show me how to do, like show me a couple of things, like how to curl my hair or how to pin things up. She was the one that taught me that people look in the mirror and they fix the front of their head, but not the back of their head. So that's why some people look ridiculous. So If you take anything away from this entire interview, the back of your head. Don't forget the back of your head. Podcasting is great because I do only have to focus on the front. You're not seeing the back, but it saves me a lot of time. And then that's when, and I talked about my sister and my obsession with her career and her track. And I'd already been following all these details about makeup. And so I started buying makeup and learning the difference between cheap makeup and good makeup. And it makes a world of a difference. And just practicing, and some things did not turn out well. it is something, but it's just like any artistic technique, is you have to practice it. You have to learn your medium. Me, it's my face, literally. So very familiar with my face and just like all the contours. And now, because I've been doing it for so long, and I can look at a picture and be like, I know how to do that. And it doesn't take me a lot of time to do my makeup. So I am artistically inclined. I'm not an artist, but I do have artistic tendencies. And that is one thing that I can do. I like coloring. I like shading. I actually do have a couple coloring books, and I let, you know, when I'm watching TV, I'll color in my coloring books. But I'm not just... So I can't draw, but I can shade really well. So I love like gradating colors and matching colors. I'm always showing my nails off because I like mixing and matching colors. So I've got these amazing purple colors right now that I just makes me so happy.
I love that. And folks, you can't see it right now, but Leia has like the biggest smile on when she's talking about this stuff. It's so cute. So, and the nails do they look incredible.
Thank you. So. Clorox Hold purple.
Yes, purple rocks hold is where I visit every week on 3-4 Talk. I go out to the 3-4 land and visit purple rocks hold. And here, matching nails. You do have another passion that we discovered through 3-4 Talk. And that was when we had Dr. Livingston on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you got particularly excited about discussing battles with him.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I feel that probably comes from your military background. Mm-hmm. But we're all excited to talk to Michael. He's a great guy. He's funny.
Exactly, yeah.
I think we gave him, he described it as like pretty much one of the funniest or best intros he's had on a show ever. We had a lot of fun just writing that intro together, all of us.
We made him say, go Navy beat Army in the old tongue. And he was very not happy about it. And I basically, he was like, I'm a colonel in the Army. I'm like, I'm the roof mistress. You will say this.
Yeah. Listen, you had a lot of interaction with Michael pre-show talking battle discussions and that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that come from a military background? It just came to the forefront because we had Michael on? Is it just like a passion that you just kind of like keep burning in the background? Like, I used to be a maid, now I'm a roof mistress, but I still love my battles. How does that work for you?
So I'm going to take this question one step further. One of the reasons I can't get anything done is because I love and do so many things. Since I think I was in middle school and I learned about the concept of the Renaissance and what truly the Renaissance meant, it was a rebirth of knowledge, and the people who lived in that time, and this is very classist because it was the rich people who could afford to do it. That being said, one of their core concepts was they wanted to know everything. So they wanted to know about science. They wanted to know about art. They wanted to know about the social studies. They wanted to know about math and history and philosophy. And they just, their brains were so big and they just absorbed everything and were constantly doing. And everybody in air quotes, everybody, the people who could afford it in that time period just were lovers of all the things that the human existence could give you. And I be came very at a very young age obsessed with that concept, which is, you know, again, as I was going through the Naval Academy and in my military service, why I really connected with all these other things. So, and people are just like, oh, you're a jock, but you also are in theater and you're smart and you like participate socially. And it's these things that you stereotype people with. I don't fit in any of those buckets. And it's, and I love that. So part of getting back to the question with Livingston and the history, I do love history. I get obsessed with like periods of time. So I'll go through like my World War II phase or my medieval history phase. So right now I do love Bone Blade. If you guys don't listen to Michael Livingston's podcast, definitely go listen to it. He's hilarious. He and one of his best friends, Kelly, who is like a armor professional, they've written books together, they go on research projects together, they break things down. And I did have to study a lot of military history at the academy and read so many. I'm just sometimes just like, wait, what the fuck did I just read? Like, I have no idea what happened. And that's one thing that Livingston's great at, is breaking all these battles down into these simplistic parts where it's digestible and comprehensible. And one thing that I found very important was maps. Like, I just need to see where these things are. And then it makes a lot more sense when you layer it on. People who get confused in the Wheel of Time books by the last battle, if you buy the companion, there's actually a lot of great, there's multiple pictures depicting where things are happening. So if you're ever confused in A Memory of Light by what's going on, just look at those pictures in the companion, and it will completely change your experience. That being said, that was a long way to answer your question.
That's okay. No, it was great. You were honestly the Army Navy thing with you and Michael was very funny.
He was not happy about that.
I didn't get it at first. You were like, this phrase, see if Michael can say this phrase in the old tongue. And I'm like, I'm not really getting this, but okay, I'm going to trust you. And we put it up and he did it. And it wasn't until he did it that I got it. And I'm like, oh, okay, penny drop moment. I feel, this is why I trust you, because it's just something that I'm not getting in the moment, but I trust your skills. So that's a lot of getting to know Leia there, folks, with the makeup, the fashion, the military history, some of the amazing components that make up, you know, who you are, not just on Threefold Talk, but in general. It's always fun talking to you, mm-hmm. because there's so many things we can talk about. We'll get back a little bit to the TV show. Like, these are some of the questions mm-hmm. that I'm going to ask everybody as they hop on over the few weeks that I'm recording you, folks. Now, we did get... Like, we got Bloodsnow in season one. Now, we didn't expect mm-hmm. to see that.
So good.
Honestly, still so good. Sometimes it should just be like its own little clip. You should just be able to watch it, folks. It's so good. but going forwards for the rest of the seasons and things like that, is there a scene that you would love to see, whether it's on screen or off screen, the books, that you're like, this, I absolutely have to see in the TV show. Now, I forgot to add this in last week when I spoke to Mel. There's kind of a gimme, and that would be the glass columns. So, with the exception of the glass columns, whichever one of those you like, both of them really. But you know, obviously, there's a main one. With the exception of that, is there a scene in the books? Maybe for season three, with it being Shadow Rising. Maybe later seasons.
Okay, for season three.
It doesn't have to be. So if it makes it easier, you can pin it down to season three. If you want to just go for like the whole book series, you can do that. It depends how much you want to torture yourself. But an ideal scene that we absolutely must have in the TV show.
There are so many. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what a hold actually looks like, because a lot of the experience that we get in the books with the Aiel is just people imagine them. And we had this conversation at Malkyrie Con, and I kind of lost my shit with the panelists for the Nynaeve is the worst panel. Okay. When they were saying, like, the Aiel actually are boring. And I'm like, what?
For context, okay. Folks, that was a panel where it was like bad takes about Wheel of Time, but like chatted about in humor. So it was, that's why it was titled Nynaeve is the worst. Because we were just coming up with like people anonymously submitted their bad takes, and then we had to vote on whether like, yeah, that's a bad take, or like, no, that's actually wrong, or whatever. Yeah, that was one of them.
And they were trying to be fun and funny, and I was just like, no, this is serious. So I just kept my mouth closed because, again, it was a light humored panel. I know when not to talk might surprise people. But I'm really interested in seeing what the Hold looks like, because a lot of what people envision the Aiel to be is just running across the waste and stabbing random people that they come across. And like, that's not actually accurate. And it's because of the POVs that we get in the books are really just from those warrior cultures, which is not the entirety of the population. It's actually a small percentage of the population. It is mostly, you know, most of the men, but in a small percentage of the women, but they have these amazing home bases where they thrive and make the best out of the worst conditions. And I want to see what that looks like. I've got pictures in my head. Growing up, my family did a 30-day trip around we drove literally around the country. And one of my biggest memories from that trip was going to see it was somewhere in the Southwest, but the adobe houses that were built up in canyons. And that's where Robert Jordan got his inspiration from for the Aiel and where they lived. And like, you know, Livingston's like, you can always find the history of it. And I was just like, but as soon as I read the books for the first time, I was like, I know exactly what that is. And so I want to see how the show portrays that. And in these inhospitable environments, how an entire culture can survive. So.
Is there a particular Hold you want to see?
I mean, Purple Rock Hold, obviously, but it'll the only one that we see in the books is Cold Rock's Hold, so that's where they're gonna go.
Right. So if you saw that scene, you'd be happy, or do you want to see like another moment where we see a different Hold or something?
Well, it'll also be interesting how they depict Rhuidean after Rand has the mist go away.
Right.
And Aiel move into it. And I think in the fourth age, Rhuidean becomes very important culturally, and also to hold off the Sharans. But that is a different topic for a different day.
that is a very different topic. Yes, that is true. Okay. Yeah. So we need to see some Holds. I give you, actually, you haven't got there yet. You were listening to Mel's recording, so you haven't got there yet. I'll let you listen to what Mel suggested. Mel, honestly, I commented that Mel suggested something I wasn't expecting, so it was very funny. But yeah, she came up and was like, well, glass columns roll. And I was like, yeah, I should have thought of actually columns, because that's kind of an obvious one. So. All right, so we have Mel's suggestion. Now we've added to that Cold Rock's Hold, which I think is great. Do you want like the whole welcoming bit and then the fight scene as well?
Oh,
do you think
yeah.
All of that, yeah, from top to bottom?
All of it, yeah. Well, nice. And the fight scene is not in Cold Rock's Hold. That is somewhere else. So that's in an amphitheater where they meet. So Cold Rock's Hold is just like they spend a couple days there.
Okay.
And then go to... why am I blanking on that?
Go to the Al-Kaldare, I think it is. Am I saying
yes,
that right?
Al-Kaldare, yes.
Oof, look at me getting in there, like Toko Wetland.
Lots of tea. Look at you. Trumping the Aiel on your knowledge. I love it. Okay.
I'm trying. I am called the Token Wetlander, folks. As I say, that's my shtick on Threefold Talk. I have a lot of toe. I try and meet it. As part of that journey, I thought during this set of recordings, I would ask the experts their preferred method for meeting any toe they may incur. Potentially I can pick up a tip here. So Leia, how, you know, if you incur toe, do you, you know, if what is your method of choice? Now, you can answer this as Roof Mistress Leia. You can answer this as your real life. You know, there's, you know, Mel did both.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of like a practical answer.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's just like as the Roof Mistress, obviously, it's just like, oh, I'll just cook you something. So not okay. From Lamel's yeah. kitchen. Not from Lamel's kitchen.
Oh, okay,
No. Because you saw what happened when I made the Lamel soup, and I would not want that to happen to anybody.
Oh, gosh, yeah, the soup. The soup haunts you, doesn't it, Leia?
Oh, I did that to myself. Oh. Why did I do that to myself?
Folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, there was a soup incident on Water Holiday in 2022, where Threefold Talk, we made soups for charity. We had random ingredients that you could donate money for us to add to our soups, and Leia chose some interesting ingredients and made a soup that Lamel
so
would be very proud
mayonnaise.
Of
with stuff that would literally curdle it, and if your stomachs are sensitive, don't like just take your earbuds out for the next 30 seconds, but I deliberately brought a puke bucket because I knew I was probably going to throw up, and I did.
And it was your idea to do the soup.
It was my idea. I did it to myself.
Leia is absolutely like our idea person on Threefold Talk for like crazy events or like fun ideas. You came up with the butt rock video that you did with Josh from Black Tower. You know, you collaborated on that. So the fight sequence that we did that we need to do a refresh of at some point soon. I literally mentioned this last week with Mel
and the water game
at JordanCon, which is a tradition now. Every time, you know, we try and get people together to do the water game. It is great. So that one, yeah. But in real life, how do you try and meet your toe? Like, what is there something you do, or is it like? You know, is it a specific thing depending on situation? How do you approach it?
Well, the thing about GA toe is it's very tailored to what you have toe for. So that's, I actually find it a very difficult question to answer because it would just depend on what I did. I'm trying to think of something that I did recently that I'm sure I did something that I... Because I actually do try to live a little bit by that. So I acknowledge when I done fucked up and try to fix it. Just nothing's popping to my head at the moment. But
that's okay.
So like again, it's a very difficult question to answer because it just depends on your level of I done fucked up. So
that's fair. I mean, that's a valid answer. You know, each situation is different and you meet your toe differently each time. That's a perfectly valid answer. There's nothing wrong with that. But it does segue nicely into my next question. So the IEL, I think we can all agree, are an amazing set of people. There are people out there that don't understand them. That's okay. But they have a lot of very strong, I suppose immutable values, you know, things that just this is what it means to be IEL. Like, if you could pick, like, which of their values do you try and take into your real life?
Their sense of ethics. Even when I feel bullied or put down or whatever, and not personally strong, I do not tolerate that behavior towards people who can't defend themselves, and I have always put myself in front of people who can't defend themselves. I did it in high school when people were bullying the I grew up in Florida, and we would eat lunch outside, and obviously like sat in cliques because in high school. But the people with Down syndrome had their own class, and people would pick on them. And even as a freshman, I literally got like put myself between them, and it was like told the bullies where they could go shove it. And it stopped for the entire 4 years that I was there. Did it in college. I actually, so challenge coins, the Black Tower, they have these challenge coins. It's a military tradition. I'm getting way off topic. It's something that you get for either participating in an event or doing something worthy of notice. One of my favorite ones is not the highest ranking one. It's one that I got because I stopped a mass bullying event. So we had Secret Santas that are mm-hmm. at while we were at the academy. It was meant to be fun, lighthearted. But when I was a senior, the seniors couldn't participate because we were doing our group evaluations of the company. And basically, like the military group that we were in. And so the underclassmen were continuing on with the Secret Santas without us. And it was meant to be funny. It's meant to be lighthearted, like, oh, Rob, you're such a token wetlander. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
People came into where we were having a meeting and were like, hey, this is kind of like, meh. And again, I was the nerd of the group. I was very, like, I wasn't very popular in my company just because I'm different than a lot of the people I served with. And I was looking at all the leaders who were technically outranked me, even though we were all the same class. They were put in positions of authority over me. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to go, like, you guys aren't going to do anything. I literally didn't defend my squad. I left the meeting to go look at this Secret Santa. And they were saying some awful things. We had a Moroccan exchange student. And one of the comments made towards him was, hey, dear Santa, I just want a suicide vest so I can go blow up all the, like, there was a kid
wow.
This was before Don't Ask, Don't Tell got repealed. They were making fun of his sexuality. They were saying horrible things about the women. They were saying horrible things about, like, any ethnically diverse. And I just went up to the kid who was saying it. I was like, hey, think about what you're about to read. And if it doesn't seem right, don't read it.
Right.
And then pretended to walk away, but came back. And then he said something. I was like, done. And meanwhile, like, nobody else, none of the other leadership in my group came and did anything. I just went, I put it in my room, went back, continued the evaluation of the company to do, to give rankings for the evals. And then the next day, it didn't say a single word to the actual officers, like the people who are actually in charge, didn't say a word. But then the next day, my company officer called me into his office and he was like, you need to tell me exactly what happened. I was like, and then he walked me to my room. I'd like literally thrown it away. So I was just like, we're just not doing that.
Yeah.
And he's like, find me that piece of paper. And I was like, oh shit. So eventually, like, a lot of people got in trouble and a lot of people lost their billets. So there was a guy who was supposed to go Navy SEALs and that got pulled. So some people who were supposed to be pilots, some people who were supposed to go Marine Corps, like, they were deemed not worthy of having these esteemed positions. Nobody got kicked out, but like lots of trouble. The commandant of the Naval Academy called me into his office one day. I was like, that's like going to the principal's office. When you get told you're going to the principal's office, you're like, what did I do?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in trouble. He shook my hand and gave me the commandant's coin. And I think he only gave it to, I think, 8 people who
wow.
didn't serve in leadership positions. So just out of meritorious during his stint. I was wondering, so it's one of the things that I'm just, so again, long story.
No, that's a beautiful story.
What I like, and I like, there's several more examples, but like, I just have that coin and I love that story, but I do not tolerate that shit. I've got friends, when we travel, they just know that I will defend their lives, literally, and they feel safe with me because of that. I hope they're friends with me besides the fact that I'd like murder folks for them, but
I know you would murder people for me, and I was your friend before I knew that, so I would stay your friend even if that wasn't the case. But just running back to her earlier, when I was like, why Roof Mistress Leia? And you're like, people just, you're the Roof Mistress. I think this kind of falls in with that. That is what was happening was not beautiful, but the way you handled it, the way you stopped it, and then didn't go like, look what I've done, look what I've done, look what I've done, was just, you know, that is incredible. Like, this needs a ramen rattle. So ramen rattle there for you. It was incredible. The fact that people call you Roof Mistress, clearly you've just done this all your life. And it's just incredible. My
friends growing up called me mom for the longest time until I applied for the Naval Academy, and then they started calling me captain. I liked captain way better than mom, but yeah.
That's fair. That's incredible. I'm looking forward to you listening to Mel's answer to that question.
Oh, geez.
When you've listened to it, you let me know, because it's just something Mel said as well, that I think is interesting. So, but yeah,
those once are all you like... do everybody on Threefold Talk, and we're gonna have to talk about it on Threefold Talk once we all have our.
There's nothing too crazy. Like, I tried to. There are some obvious questions, like, you know, sort of why do you pick Aiel, you know, things like that. But you know, I've tried to make each one a little bit personal as well. So I hope people have enjoyed hearing about some of your passions. I have no more crazy questions, so don't panic anymore. Like, it's we're done, we can chill. I don't have a butt rock to put on screen right now, but just imagine a butt rock, and you know, there we go. But yeah.
Ooh, calming effects. Yes,
calming effects. Was it as scary as you thought it might be?
No, it wasn't scary. It's just one of the pieces of armor I put on is just like researching the living crap out of everything, because I like to know things and I like to be prepared. And I knew that this was just a fun casual interview and just a chit chatty with one of my BFFs, but still it's like, oh shit, like this is like being recorded and I don't know how to handle this.
Well, Leia, you have been wonderful. I've definitely learned some things tonight that I didn't know about you. And we've got to talk about some things that I did know about you that are just beautiful. And thank you for sharing your thoughts on the Aiel, both for why you roleplay as one and what you think they're doing in the TV show. I'm excited to see what we get in season 3 when it's got to be pretty Aiel heavy. We're off to the Threefold Lands. I mean, I'm assuming you're very excited for that. I am.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So. Yeah, it's going to be great. But yeah, we're going to wrap it up there. So thank you so much. Two more of these to come, folks. Next week, I'm sitting down with Tigraine. And then the week after, I should be sitting down with Bane and Shead as well. So two more of these. We'll have more of these questions I'm asking everybody and more of the questions that are very specific to them. So I hope you're enjoying these, folks. Thank you to everyone who hopped into the live chat, all my patrons who hopped in and listened. A few people running out. Somebody didn't come. Chief Foldy said they couldn't come because there's some sort of sports ball bullshit on the go at the moment. So goddamn the sports balls.
Fucking wetlanders.
But until next week, folks, please go and find yourself some love, water, and shade. Thank you so much for listening to Malkia's Wrap-Up. If you'd like to support me, please head over to Patreon, where you can sign up and listen to the podcast as I record each week at any level. Thank you so much. Please follow the account on Twitter, join me on YouTube once in a while, and leave a comment and tell me what you liked and what I missed, because I'm sure there was plenty. But until next time, folks, please find love, water, and shade.